StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRad.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany here in lovely Frankfurt. And you can tell from the back, I'm here again at my study. And you can tell from my beard, it is getting fall here. Before, it used to be the leaves are turning brown. It started to rain a little bit. Now it's more the IKEA catalog arrives and Pumpkin Spice is available at a big coffee chain. Nonetheless, we have a Saturday afternoon and I'm very happy to have Costa here with you. Kalimera.
Kalimera, thank you so much for inviting me to be part of this conversation today.
Yes, totally my pleasure. We should say that it's an exclusive here and you're the very, very first startup from Athens that ever made it into my podcast. Very welcome. But before we talk about the startup Lendo, can you tell a little bit about yourself?
Of course. My name is Kostas. I'm a software engineer. That's how I started. Things have changed a little bit though after my involvement with Blendo, but we'll talk more about this later. I started with technology at a quite early age, so I was happy enough to see things happening, like seeing the internet for the first time, where like Greece was sharing just one IP for the whole country. I was using and benchmarking different web browsers like Mosaic and Netscape, names that some people might, I don't know, like they think that they will find them in a museum or something today. And the things that happened by the end of the 90s with the crash there and all the expectations that we had about technology that changed. And of course, the second wave of having mobile devices and the clouds and whatever is happening today. So yeah, I consider myself like a very fortunate person because I belong to a very small part of a generation that I usually call the analog to digital generation, because we started with the analog era and we ended up in the digital, and we saw all these. I had the opportunity to process, to experience this process. So I studied electrical and computer engineering here in Greece. I started from my, let's say, academic years to work a lot with data, with stuff like how you can represent data, how you can put semantics around data and make the data more self-descriptive, and how we can make machines understand information on a higher level than just streams of data. So I've done a lot of things around technologies, data representation, data modeling, storage solutions and database systems for data. And that's like the most relevant part of my technical background, let's say, when it comes to how Blendo was realized as a company. So I worked a lot in Europe with many institutions around Europe and universities. I did also some research in the space. And then at some point I decided that I was feeling that something was missing. I'm very, let's say, I value freedom a lot. And when I say freedom, I mean both in, you know, like, and also like implementing things. And I also value a lot value creation. So I felt like I learned from what I was doing back then and figure out a way to create value that I can, you know, understand and feel that someone is getting this value directly from me. And that's how I started thinking about building a company. To be honest, I didn't know what I was messing with in good and bad ways. Journey so far, and I'm pretty happy about it.
When you've been talking about in good and bad ways, I was wondering, would you have started Blendo if you would have known everything you would know now? And I also seen that Blendo is like registered in Delaware, at least according to LinkedIn.
Yeah, I would start Blendo again. That's both for personal reasons and also for reasons that are beyond me. Like when you build something and you see that there are people, companies, institutions out there that get value from what you build, it's like very strong motivation to say that, yeah, I would do it again. But apart from that, the company and becoming and being like a founder, it's a very life-transforming experience, at least for me. And this is something that I would never change. Like, it's an amazing journey. Some choices would be different at this point. We can discuss about this, but it's not something that you can know beforehand anyway, unless you are experienced as a entrepreneur and you have done it before and you know your market very well. So yeah, there are some things that I would do different, but no, I would make the same choice of building the company again. And regarding the company, yeah, the company is incorporated in Delaware. There is a subsidiary here in Greece because we have our R&D here in Greece. The reasons that the company was incorporated in Delaware was twofold. One was that we were aiming mainly for the market in the States, and also for investing reasons, because we started, our first investors were from Israel, and we needed to have like a common ground in terms of the legal framework for building a company, and Delaware is a place where everything is well understood by everyone. So it was a very good choice at that point, and it was a very good choice in general, to be honest, in terms of incorporating the company.
I'm not too sure how much of operation you have in the United States. Did you consider it like tiresome to set up the company from abroad?
Can you repeat the last part of your question?
Did you consider it tiresome? Was it a lot of work to set up the company when you were not American, or did it just work smoothly for you? You just booked an internet service and that was it?
It wasn't that difficult, to be honest. Like, the actual incorporation took 3-4 days or something, but to know like the right people to guide you. So we were fortunate enough to have some lawyers from Tel Aviv. They guided us in everything, and it was a very process. Things get a little bit more complicated when you start interacting with IRS. But again, it's not something that it's much different than what is happening in Europe in general. I'm not talking about Greece now, because Greece might be a little bit of an outlier when it comes to things like bureaucracy. But I think that someone from the UK or Germany or even France, probably it's not going to be like much, much different from what they have experienced. And actually, I incorporated the company and operated the company there for like, I don't know, more than a year without visiting the country. So it worked pretty well.
When you say you incorporate the company without visiting the country, do you consider yourself a Greek startup, a European startup, or an American startup?
That's a good question. I would say now that we are a global startup. Like, we started from Greece. We had to move to Tel Aviv and stay there for a while so we can kickstart the company. After that, we started working in the sense that we have like the majority of our partners are from United States and especially the West Coast. We have investors from both Israel and Europe. Our customers, most of our customers are in the States. We employ people in the States, we employ people in Canada, we employ people in Israel. So yeah, at the end, we are Greeks, we have our R&D here in Athens. But if you want to compete in something that in a market that it's actually global, and when you are especially like a tech heavy company where the product's actually transforming almost every industry out there, I think you should aim to be a global company as possible. So yeah, we are a global company.
A global company, very good. We've been talking such a lot about the company and Blendo. Can you tell us a very easy, dumb it down for business students, what you guys are actually doing?
Yeah, so what we are that we allow companies to get access to all the data that they generate, both on the cloud and on premises. Actually, we are doing something that in technology terms we are doing from the first moment that databases came into existence and we started working with data. So on a more technical level, it's called ETL or ELT. It doesn't matter. It's just an acronym that thing. But at the end, if we want to speak more on business terms, we are enabling companies to reclaim the data that they have in a form that can be used directly by business people and stakeholders inside the company. So that it's very easy to use. It's an infrastructure product in the sense that the whole company is going to use it and it creates data inside the company without involving IT that much, because IT has much more difficult and different kind of tasks that they need to maintain inside the company. And we make sure that the company can trust their data, and the people like a sales product manager or a marketing manager, anyone who today needs to delve into data to make decisions, they will have the data that they need at the right time and be sure that the data is correct and without errors. So we're reinventing, in a way, this ETL process, because things have changed a lot in the industry, in the tech industry. Data is not that centralized and they are not owned that much in the same way, not that much, in the same way that the companies used to own data. The data is actually spread over different applications, database systems, all over the cloud, and even on hardware that is owned by the companies. And as data, something like the blood or the oxygen for companies, need this data to remain competitive and make decisions even faster and more informed decisions. These kind of solutions are becoming more and more important. And what is equally important is that products like Blendo allow the company to become, let's say, data citizens. Like they can get directly access to their data without having to need the support of IT or data engineers and other situations.
Do you help the companies like to consolidate all the data in just one data warehouse, or do you just give access to the different parties in charge to this data that is already there?
Yeah, so what we are doing, like, to the different sources that the company has that and keep keep in mind that these sources might be governed by different people inside the company, like a CRM, for example, or a ticketing system. We are talking about completely different teams and completely different ownership there. But there's data there, and usually we have two different types of data. We have operational data, so we can ask information and get responses about how well we are doing with customer support, for example. Is there space there for improvement? But also, there's behavioral data about our customers, because these applications at the end, they act more like touch points with the customers. So we take this data, and as you very well put it, we move this data into the data warehouse solution that the company is using. And all this process from extracting, reshaping, and loading consistently the data on those is fully automated by Blendo. So we don't own the data. We don't want to keep the data. The companies consolidate the data in a way that gives them also ownership over the infrastructure that the data is hosted at, and the technology that they want to use to analyze and create new data, new products over this data.
So my understanding would be that you also help like getting, for example, Salesforce software as a service, any software as a service data in there, as well as internal systems, and they then can like put together reports or analyzes reports or stuff like this, and they just press a button and have the right data.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the main use cases is reporting. Which is still like a very core problem for companies. But here we are talking about, let's say, reporting that it's probably more complete. So someone from sales, for example, can also leverage data that's coming from an accounting system. So they can see like more accurately what kind of actual value at the end is associated with the leads that they have. You can even create like re-customer journey from the moment that they start interacting with your brand through marketing, with connecting the whole through sales, and then how they interact with your products and how they become customers, and also track the journey after they become customers. In general, huge opportunities to do things with the data that the companies are generating. But the problem is by outsourcing these activities outside the company itself, it accelerates the companies, but at the same time, it causes problems because the data becoming even more fragmented and more siloed inside different systems. And this is like the flip of the problem that we are solving by making it extremely easy and consistent to get this data and put them into of the customer.
I understand. Data. When you've been talking, and while it took me a while to get back this recording to my camera, I was taking notes, and when you've been talking, I was curious, who is the main person who makes the decision to like buy the Blendo service? Is it more the CTO? Is it more the CMO? And how do your clients usually use your tool?
So different people making, actually there are, let's say, two main persons or personas or whatever term we want to use that we direct inside the company. Okay, so we see people that are coming from the data analytics departments, for example, so have like a data analyst who is coming to us, trying to get access to their data. Usually it's very narrow request at the beginning. So for example, it's like, okay, we need to make reports for our sales team. We are using Salesforce. We need the data to do some custom reports that are not possible to do inside Salesforce at this point. Data analysts will look for this kind of data. And usually the but at the end, the decision maker might be someone from sales because actually is used for their needs. Then we might continue the discussion and we can get like more people on board from the company. And we see also other departments getting involved. Depending on the size of the company, I think the question actually, it's very strongly tied to also the size of the company. So with smaller companies, we see like more executive people coming, like the CTO. Many times we see people like COOs coming, CIOs in some cases. And then as the companies become bigger, we might see like the head of a team coming of a department, like from sales and buying the solution. I think that, and this is also part of the transformation that the industry is going through. So, and as we have roles that, like the CDO, the Chief Data Officer, still things are quite fluid. So I think that we are still in the process of figuring out who should own like the data infrastructure of the company, which is different IT infrastructure of the company. So until this happens, and I think it will take some time because we are still learning and we are still trying to figure out the right structure inside the company. We'll see people getting involved in this.
So many thoughts, so many questions. I was wondering, when you've been talking owning like the data infrastructure, in your personal opinion, who should be the one in the company to own the data infrastructure?
Well, I think that the whole idea of having a CDO company, especially for more mature companies, it's probably what is going to happen at the end. And there are different reasons behind this that we are talking about quite complex infrastructure, because if you think about it, in order to utilize the complete stack that needs to work together. So you need things from like storage solutions, to ETL solutions, to BI solutions, and all these things work together. And these are different, like someone needs to have like the complete overview of this. And I don't think that I should do that. But it's also, there are other things around data that will get things more complicated. And I think that in the near future, we'll see more things about compliance, security, privacy, things that probably companies will need to take care of from day one. You've seen like what is happening with GDPR, and there are even more legislation going through both in Europe and in the States. So all these things, I think it's a very strong signal that anything that has to do with the data should be governed by a separate entity inside the company. It's not the CIO that should do that, and it's not the IT department anymore. So yeah, I think that this is like what we are going to see happening in the next couple of years, probably, and even earlier.
Really great. I do have two more questions right now for you. At first, who is usually, how does your average customer, like the company, look like? Are there certain industries you're seeing more and more using your tool? And secondly, which other companies, like in a sales pitch, should have a look at your tool?
To be honest, And I think this happens a lot. I think with almost every infrastructure product, we are pretty horizontal. Although we try to focus more on companies that are more technologically mature and markets that are more logically mature. But as also Gartner says, in the near future, every company out there is going to be a technology company anyway. And I think they have a point, especially when it comes to data. Like we've seen very traditional companies, especially coming from very traditional like markets, from like storage solutions and logistics and things like this, trying to leverage the data that they have from like marketing platforms like AdWords, Facebook, and similar other products. We've seen pharmaceutical companies, of course, many technology companies that they are trying like to be data-driven from day one. B2C or companies, I would say that usually what happens is that B2B companies takes a little bit more for them to generate enough data to justify having like an infrastructure for their data. B2C companies tend to have like a lot of data from early on, so they try to invest in this kind of technologies much earlier. But yeah, I wouldn't like to say like a specific industry, but I would suggest even if like a company at any stage they don't really consider building a data stack at this point, I think they should start thinking about it. They will have more control over the data. They will need to deal with legislation sooner or later. Like even if you go to a doctor, like just an appointment, you have to sign for GDPR at this point because they have like electronic health records there. So data is everywhere, and I think that the sooner any company understands that they should utilize this data for them, and the more like ready they will be to compete in this new space and this new environmental space that is created where data will be used for almost everywhere and for many different reasons. And I'm not talking here about exotic like stuff like AI, machine learning, and these things, but like even solving reporting problems, it's something that we see still being a big problem in companies of any size, from small companies to like really, really large enterprises.
I would have one more question for you. You're talking about small companies to very large enterprises. And when you've been talking, I was wondering whom would you like to have as a customer? It doesn't matter if it's realistic or not. And first thing would come to mind is, would you like to have the CIA as a customer?
I don't think that I can have the CIA as a customer, to be honest. I think that they are dealing with data on a completely different perspective. I don't think that we can work together. but I think, Blendo as it is right now, we are like we prefer to work with more small and medium-sized companies. The reason is that we are still an early company, so it's very helpful for us to be in to build relationships with companies where things are more agile and the communication back and forth. It's there's a more bandwidth there. So we usually prefer this kind of companies in terms of size. But we try to be agnostic in general in terms of the industry. There are some industries that are more difficult to work, like in finance, the finance sector, for example, or health sector, mainly because there's many concerns there about the privacy, and we would like to be deliver something that always guarantees the safety of the data of the people who are involved, and we are talking about the customers of our customers here. We take this responsibility very high for ourselves. And so it's a little bit more difficult to work there. And we also have bigger companies, like we even have like companies that are from Fortune 500 companies, but their things are different. Like at the end, especially we are working with teams in these companies, is like, again, working on smaller companies in some cases. The problems there are more about the sales process, the procurement process, and all the processes that these huge companies have, because they are huge. Like you cannot avoid. When you have like thousands of employees and departments and things like this, you need to have bureaucracy at the end. You cannot avoid that. So, we try to be more agile, which is also a result of our current states and where we are as a company. It's not that we have a preference, like a personal preference or something like that.
I see. You're a startup with Greek roots who's actually international, and you don't have any preference to work with any customers. It was such a pleasure having you here as a interview partner, and I wish you best of luck. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me here today, and it was a pleasure to be able to share a few things about our journey with Blendo, and hopefully you hear more about us in the near future.
Hopefully. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.